This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Lynn Mark and Noel Lim in the studio this morning. In about half an hour, we've got the breakfast grill and a particularly exciting one considering that it is the anniversary of Lanka Sheraton and the fall of the Pakatan Harapan government.
Yes, indeed. So I'm going to be speaking with two very interesting fellows. So I'll be speaking with Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, as well as Ibrahim Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, because the events of Lanka Sheraton upended the political landscape and threw our democracy into a bit of a tailspin. Now, a year later, we are still very much on political tenterhooks amidst the raging pandemic as well as the state of emergency. So can we return to some form of democratic governance? And what's the way out of this quagmire? So we're going to be discussing that with James and Ben later on after the 8 o'clock news.
In fact, we're asking you for some possible ways out of this quagmire or what we should learn from it. The poll that we're having on Twitter right now, what political reform do we most need to prevent another Lanka Sheraton? Right now, we've got about 100 votes here. 70% say they want that we need an anti-hopping law. 12% say political and funding laws. 5% are saying others, with 1% saying contract, 6-month to 1-year contracts. And 12% don't know. So let us know what you think over on Twitter at BFM Radio. Right now, though, we're talking about what seems to be all the craze right now, Clubhouse, where you can take part in live audio conversations with your friends, but also with the likes of Kanye West and Elon Musk. It's an audio-based platform where users are able to hold or listen in on live conversations with others.
Yes, this app, I have to say, is only available to iPhone users at this point
for
in
now,
time.
For now.
Yeah, for now. Okay, I'm an Android user. So I'll just try to superficially talk about Clubhouse, like as though I know it so well. It has seen exponential growth in recent months. It has about 10,000 users in October 2020, entered into 2021 with under 1 million users. Now he has 10 million users. And I think it's that really that Elon Musk and all these other celebrities, right, that has been the effect on Clubhouse.
Yeah, and this despite the fact that, as you mentioned, Noel, it's only iPhone and by invite only for now. But, you know, once it opens up to Android, it's anyone's guess how it will grow. Or maybe it fades away. We don't know. Some proponents are calling it the future of social media. Skeptics say it's a fad that won't survive past the pandemic. Who knows who's right at this point? But we're hoping to unpack some of this with Jeremiah Aoyang, a tech industry analyst with Kaleido Insights. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I guess the question here is, does the platform have legs to grow? Because if you compare to live streaming, that never really took off in the way that people imagined it to because of how hard it can be to create engaging live content. So is this business model viable?
Clubhouse and other social audio networks will continue to grow. In particular, this is called the Goldilocks medium. Unlike text, which requires you to type but doesn't have the emotion and nuance, or compared to video, which requires a lot of attention and time put into it, social audio is easy because anybody can create it from anywhere without judgment.
Now, it's only currently on Apple, but do you foresee it being opened up to other users for Android, for example, soon?
The Clubhouse team has recently hired an Android engineer to extend the software to the Google and Android audience. Around 2/3 of the world is on the Android app, so it will open up much broader. The invite system will probably continue. So people that know somebody that has it access an account is likely the way it will continue its exclusive rollout.
And will this lack of exclusivity cause the platform to actually lose its allure?
When tech companies raise significant amount of venture capital, in this case, over $100 million for a current valuation of $1 billion, it is expected that that platform does go global and roll out to the masses. It's inevitable that this app will become fully public over time.
I guess the big question is, how will it monetize itself eventually?
The Clubhouse platform intends to monetize through creator tipping, in which creators will tip each other, and fans will tip the creators, as well as offer premium content subscriptions where there's access for gated communities and clubs and eventually shows in which members could pay potentially a monthly subscription or annual.
So that's a departure from the other social media platforms' reliance on ads. Could it be a game changer, perhaps, for the entire industry?
The modern social audio apps have realized that the advertising model is often a failure because the content can be breached and used by advertisers, resulting in a lack of privacy and therefore trust. Today's modern media companies are figuring out new models that include direct creator monetization, which yield different types of trust and fan engagement.
Who would be Clubhouse's competitors?
Clubhouse faces some significant competitors in this new stage. Twitter Spaces, which is already beta, enables users to broadcast to their existing followers and following graph, many who of which have built their communities in Twitter for over 10 years. Secondly, Facebook has announced that they too will offer a social audio platform. We should expect it to be integrated into their messaging platform as well as into Facebook and other tools. And then finally, Mark Cuban has announced that he will offer a live podcasting service called Fireside, which will incorporate ways for creators to create content on the fly. In addition to that, our analysis shows nearly 30 other social audio platforms, many who are emerging for specific verticals, like Just for Women, Just for Black Americans, and other specific verticals.
Now, Facebook is already working on its own audio component. Twitter has already dabbled in audio tweets. Once these tech giants throw their might in this direction, what would it take for Clubhouse to survive?
There is plenty of room for multiple players in any given market. Imagine how many social networks that you have on your phone now. We should expect the same amount of social audio platforms to also be as dedicated apps. This will just become yet another communication media that's built into our arsenal of ways to communicate. Don't expect there to be just one player. Typically, there's room for three major players in one person's life. Whoever was first, in this case, Clubhouse. Second, whoever is largest, that could be Facebook and or Twitter. And then third, whoever's different, unique, maybe something just for your particular interests or the type of region that you're in.
So what do you foresee for the platform in terms of how it will be regulated? Since it seems inevitable that Clubhouse will eventually run into the same issues around moderation that Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are currently mired in.
Safety and security of users continues to be a problem for Clubhouse and other social audio networks where people can say things that could be triggering or insulting or downright hateful, really on the fly. And there's very little way to stop that other than setting up notifications of somebody who has a history of being disruptive. Overall, these platforms will also suffer from infiltration from different government groups that might try to sway a particular audience and or provide propaganda. And of course, marketers will be involved in these communities trying to sway consumers to purchase products. So these are not unique instances. You find these in other social networks that are focused on text. Now it's just spreading to social audio.
And what do we know so far about the commitments of Clubhouse to address security concerns?
Earlier this week, Clubhouse had a security hole, which was breached where discussions in the main feed were being broadcasted live on the internet in other locations. They promptly shut it down within a few hours, but it still exposed that there are privacy woes that will continue to plague the community. It's very easy for users to create a bot and or record or export audio, even through the audio jack of a phone. There is very little way for private conversations to remain private in any social audio app.
Jeremiah, thanks for your time this morning. That was Jeremiah Aoyang of Kaleido Insights breaking down the Clubhouse for us. Not literally, just the insights on his part. It's quite interesting. Social audio is not something that's really taken off in the past. Could it be a combination of the pandemic or a lack of panel events as well? You know, people aren't going out to events. Because my feel of the app so far as I've been using it is it's kind of like a mix of live radio meets a panel session, right? You go to an event, there are three speakers on stage talking about something you're interested in, and then hopefully then maybe you put up your hand and you can ask a question. That's really what I feel like it is, but it's live radio in the sense that you can really, it's on your device wherever you go. It's very, very interesting, and I've definitely been watching it to kind of see who's on it, and I am excited to see, I'll be excited to watch when it opens up to Android, because like you said, two-thirds of the world use Android phones. If we already saw a boom now, I can't imagine what kind of acceleration we'll see once it opens up to that platform.
Yeah, I'll also be interested to see just generally whether or not Clubhouse is going to get acquired by one of the major big players, whether or not it's going to someone is going to come out with a very close mimic of the this on the platform. Sure. Absolutely. Because, you know, Jeremiah pointed out Twitter Spaces is already in beta. I think I've seen it being used a couple of times. Facebook is also developing this and integrating it into their personal messaging system. And these are two massive tech platforms that have users on there which have been curating their followers or your friend groups for years, you know, decades in some cases, in the case of Facebook. So, you know, is this going to give them an edge over Clubhouse, or will Clubhouse retain its first mover advantage?
Yeah, so I think Clubhouse might find itself being too niche, and eventually it will have to sell to Facebook, Google, or maybe who knows, a media company, right? I mean, this is just like WhatsApp, right? They didn't stay as a standalone, and they eventually they sold themselves. I think the question is for media companies, you know, what's the potential? How can we collaborate with Clubhouse? How can we leverage Clubhouse? Can we plug our feet in there? And then, you know, do we maybe create a room and then have a special show, a Clubhouse show, and then stream it on radio? Is that even allowed? You know, so all these things are quite interesting opportunities.
I think if it comes, when it comes to the exit strategy, it will come down to price, right? Because once upon Zoom is a great example of a parallel that Clubhouse could become. It really is about whether you can grow massively, because you could say the same argument against Zoom, right? Microsoft was in it, Skype was in it, Google Meets was in it. There were so many WhatsApp audio. There were so many competitors. But once you become a name brand, it becomes very hard to go against the grain. And you know, if a company like Snapchat can go to IPO, and that was a very, very niche product, I don't see why Clubhouse won't, unless it the investors are looking specifically at a point of like, yeah, we're here to position this to sell.
Yeah, so I think like Clubhouse, like any other social media platforms, they need all that key influencers, right? Like, you know, Elon Musk and the world to be on there, and then boom, you know, the whole world is going to be following. And if I recall correctly, the foundings of Zoom, what they started off being quite appealing is with the universities. I think universities, when they ran their online courses, so they knew they had a robust solution, and it was very appealing to universities. So they have to find their utility.
Yep. And on that note, though, just to remind everyone, today is the anniversary of Lanka Sharatan and the fall of the Pakatan Harapan government. And BFM will be covering this throughout the day, taking a look at it from different angles. Right now, though, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, a look at the KLCI opening, as well as insights on global markets with Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust of Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Keep it here to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.